Okay. The Mishnah tells us in Masechta Shabbos at the beginning and the middle of Perek Valgado, it's the 39 Avos Melachos, Arbaim Chaser Achas, and the 11th one, in what the Gemara refers to as Sidur Depas, the order of the making of the bread, is Ha'oifeh, is baking. So Rashi writes on that Mishnah, Lo Havi B'Mishkan, Lo Shayach El B'Pas. The Oifeh was not in the Mishkan itself, because the Oifeh only applies to bread, as opposed to other cooked items, which is referred to as bishul. Upas lo shaycha b'melechus ha-mishkan, there was no baking that occurred in the melechus ha-mishkan. Rather, all there was bishul. Where did bishul occur in the melechus ha-mishkan? Cooking? That was b'samamonim shal tsevat cheles v'agamim v'tolo ha-shani. So that occurred in the cooking of the dyes. And many of the first melachos have to do, Rashi understood, have to do with the making of the dyes, planting, plowing, cutting, threshing, and cooking as well had to do with the making of the dyes. Why then did the Mishnah choose ha'oifeh, if ha'oifeh didn't occur in the Mishkan? So Rashi quotes later on, the Gemara addresses this, on the fine Dadal Mebeis, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Shavak, Tana, Didan, Bishol, Samimanim, Dehava, B'Mishkan. The Tana did not choose to discuss Bisho, which actually occurred in the Mishkan, v'nakat oifeh. He rather chose baking. Tana didan sidur depas nakat. The Tana chose something which is a logical progression of the previous melachos, which has to do with the baking of the bread. So it's more of a mnemonic, it's more of something, you know, that just seems to fit better with the context, but in truth, what occurred in the Mishkan was not oifeh, was not baking, but rather was Bisho, was cooking of the samamonim. The Egle Tal in his Hakdama, this is of course the Avnei Nezer, the Sagachar Rebbe, so in his Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, quotes in the Hakdama from a tshuva of Rabbi Avram Beno Shel Rambam, who quotes in the name of Rav Haigoin, that there was Bishol in the Melechus HaMishkan, not in the actual construction of the Mishkan, but rather in the Karbonos that took place in the Mishkan, because every day there was brought a Chavite Kohen Gadol, which was a Karbon Mincha. So there was, which had to be baked, and also there was the lechem upon him. There were things that were baked in the course of the avoid of the melech, of the Mishkan on a daily basis. So even though it didn't occur in the construction of the Mishkan, it did occur within the karbonos that were brought on a daily basis or on a weekly basis in the Mishkan. And we can derive the lametes avos melachos not only from the construction of the Mishkan itself with the skins and the dyes and the coverings, but also from the avoda that took place, the avoda sakarbonos that took place in the melachos haMishkan. So the Egle Tal struggles to justify this opinion of Haigoin because the Gemara told us on that fine Dalam Abbas that oifeh did not occur in the Mishkan. The Gemara asks, Shavak Tana didan bishul samamonim dehava b'Mishkan. Why would the Tana choose to discuss oifeh, which did not occur in the Mishkan, as opposed to bishul, which did occur in the Mishkan, which implies that we can only derive the lametes avos melachos from that which took place in the construction of the Mishkan, in the building of the Mishkan, not in the avodas hakarbonos after the Mishkan was already built. So the Egle Tal struggles to justify the opinion of Haigoin, but the opinion of Haigoin was that oifeh was also in the Mishkan, not in the construction of the Mishkan, but the daily activities of the Mishkan. Rashi feels, and that seems to be supported by the Gemara, that the lametes avos melachos are derived from the construction of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, not from the daily avodah that took place in the Mishkan. In fact, the Ksav HaKabbalah, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, from the base medrash of the Gra, writes in his comments in Parashas Vayakel that there's a difference in connotation between Malacha and between Avoida. Malacha, of course, refers to the construction of the Mishkan. Avoida refers to the Avoidas HaKarbonos in the Mishkan once it was already built. And those are really, even though they're somewhat, you know, synonyms, Malacha and Avoida both mean work, but Malacha means more of a constructive activity, whereas Avoida is more of a labor-intensive activity, something that goes on a daily basis, but you're not necessarily creating something new, as opposed to Malacha, which has to do with the creative activity, where you're building something and constructing something. And of course, the Lamates of Malachas are all creative activities, and therefore Rashi chose to derive it from the Melechus HaMishkan that had to do with the construction of the Mishkan and not with the Avoda that took place on a daily basis in the Mishkan, which is more of a labor-intensive activity as opposed to a constructive, creative activity. So according to Rashi, and that seems to be the implication of the Gemara and the Ayin Dar Mebeis, the Melacha of Bishol took place in the Mishkan and the creation, in the making of the dyes, but Oifeh did not occur in the Mishkan. The Tana chose Oifeh in the list of 39 of his Melachos because that is the logical progression of Sidur Depas, the first 11 melachos, which all address the describe the process of the making of the bread. The Rambam in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph writes, "Echad ha'oifes ha'pas oy ha'mevashos ha'maychol oy as ha'samimanim oy mechamimis ha'mayim." A person who bakes bread, or cooks a dish, or heats up water, hakol inyan echad hu. This is all one notion, one idea, one malacha. So the Rambam seems to imply that the malacha of afia, not only bishol, is an av malacha, but ha'oifa is also in violation of the av malacha of bishol. So yes, it's true, it didn't occur in the Mishkan, but the Rambam seems to understand that it's totally, you know, on the same footing, as the same Iser, the same gravity, the same severity as Bisho of Samamanim. They're all one and the same. And that's surprising, because the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Kamma, the Bezim et Aleph, that there are Avos Malachos Habom Chaser Achas. There are quotes the Mishnah from Ayin Gimel Med Aleph. There are 39 Avos Malachos. So the Gemara comments, Avos Mechlal Deika Toldos. From the fact that there are fathers, or there are, you know, headers, that implies that there are derivatives. And the Gemara says, Toldos Seyem Kayoitze Behen. The Toldos are really the same as the Avos. Loishna Av Chatos, Loishna Toldo Chatos. Doesn't mean the Av is, if you do a Peshoigeg, you have to bring a Chatos. The Toldo, you have to bring a Chatos. They're all Yisrim Daraisa. Loishna Av Skila, Loishna Toldo Skila. Whether you violate an Av, you get Skila. Whether you violate a Toldo, you get Skila. And the Gemara outlines, there are perhaps some differences, though, between Avos and Toldos. The classifications are important for other areas. But there's an Issa Deraisa, whether it's an Av or a Toldo. So why are some called Avos, huh? Why are some called Avos and some called Toldos? So the Gemara explains over here in the second line, Amai kari le Av, Amai kari le Toldo. How do you know what's an Av and what's a Toldo? Haf da Hava be Mishkan Chashiva kari le Av. That which occurred in the Mishkan is called an Av. That which occurred, which did not take place in the Mishkan, is called a Toldo. Haf da Hava be Mishkan Chashiva kari le Toldo. So we already explained that the Gemara, the Bavli, seemed to indicate that Oifet did not occur in the Mishkan. Bishol of the Samamanim occurred in the Mishkan. And we're only deriving Lamed Tes Avos Malachos from the creative construction of the Mishkan, not from the daily Avoda that took place, the Avoda Sakarbonis. So if Oifet wasn't in the Mishkan, and the Gemara tells us in Maseches Bava Kamma, what is considered an Av Malacha is that which that activity that occurred in the Mishkan. Anything that's derived from that is called a Tolda. So then why does the Rambam equate ha'oifa and bisho and heating water, that they're all the same, which implies that they're all avos malachos, when afia did not occur in the Mishkan? Bisho should be the av and afia should have been the tolda. And in fact, that's the Talmud Yerushalmi asks, we mentioned already, the Gemara Masechta the Shabbos and the Ayin Daleh Amud Beis asks, why did the Tana and the Mishnah list ha'oifa when that did not occur in the Mishkan? The Talmud Yerushalmi asked the same question, but from a somewhat different angle. Talmud Yerushalmi asked, why did the Mishnah list Afia when Afia is only a Tolda? Which is the logical conclusion from the fact that if it's not in the Mishkan, it must therefore be a Tolda. So Yerushalmi asked, why did the Tana in the Mishnah, in the list of 39 Avos Malachos, bring one that is a Tolda, that is derivative, and not the Av Malacha, the primary action which is prohibited? So the Magen Mishnah explains the opinion of the Rambam, that even though he concedes that, of course, Afia did not occur in the Mishkan, but the Rambam's opinion is, Shekol Malacha, Shidoim La'av B'dimyon Gomor. The Rambam's opinion is, anything that is entirely comparable, completely comparable, the same as the Av Malacha, El Shalu, you know, in its activity, and in its the product that it produces, El Shechaluka Mimena Be'echas HaPa'ula Be'echas HaNifol, Hareza Av Kamarsa. It's somewhat, it's a variation of the act, perhaps it's a variation of the product that's produced, but fundamentally it's the same, then that has the status of the Av. Av HaMalacha Adoim Elav B'miksa Su HaNikros Toldo. Something which is only comparable slightly, or, you know, partially, that's a Toldo. If it's entirely comparable, almost, you know, exactly the same, a parallel, so then, even though it's not the exact activity that took place in the Mishkan, and it's not the same product, but it's, for all intents and purposes, equal, so then it has the status of the Av Malacha, even though the Rambam would concede that Afia was not in the Mishkan. So Afia was not in the Mishkan, and bread, baked bread is different than, cooked soup, but they're, fundamentally the same, at least conceptually, and therefore the Rambam feels that it has the status of not a Tolda, but has the status of the Av Malacha, so the Rambam feels Afia and Bisho are all the same. This seems to be reflective of an important understanding of Avos and Toldos and of Malacha Shabbos in general. The Kesef Mishnah In Perek Zayin of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Beis, quotes in the name of the Marach, who asked in the Rambam, how could the Rambam said all of these are avos melachos? Ha'oife, bisho, heating water, they're all the same. Temahu, imkein, kol elu avos. If the Rambam has this concept, the notion, that anything that's exactly, you know, entirely comparable to the av melachos is also an av melacha, so then we now have a plethora of avos melachos, a horde. Why did the Tana say there's only 39? There's many, because each activity that's entirely similar to the av melachos is also an av melacha. So, because of our amach temahu, imkein kol elu avos amay chashav arbaim chaser achas. Why does the Tana say there's 39? Havalei lachshav of yoisim echamishim. There's been more than 50. And then he goes on to ask, the Gemara says in Bava Kama, Oy damrina malacha to have a mishkan chashiva korelei avlo, have a mishkan chashiva korelei toldo. The Gemara already told us that what is the identifying quality that that endows the status of an av malacha, something that took place in the mishkan. Afiyah, even though it's entirely comparable to bisho, but it didn't take place in the mishkan. How then can that be an av? And if oifa is an av and bisho is an av, then already we have more than 39, and the Tana already told us that there's only 39. That's the kash of the Ramah. So Gusman explains in the Sefer Kuntrasi Shiurim, and many others have a similar explanation as well, that the Rambam seems to have understood that these 39 Avos Melachos are not specific activities. The Tana is not listing specific activities, but rather categories of Melacha, kind of like headings. So bisho means not only the act of cooking in water, which is the strict definition of bisho, but anything that's entirely similar to it. It's a heading. It's not a specific activity. And the Rambam understood that there are 39 avos melachos. Doesn't mean 39 specific activities that are prohibited, but rather 39 categories of melachos, or 39 categories of activities. And anything that's entirely similar, that's entirely similar to the primary activity, that's a clue that's considered to be an av melacha, just like the primary activity that took place in the Mishkan. So bisho took place in the Mishkan. Oife is entirely similar to it in terms of it's the action that's involved and the product that's produced. It's not exactly the same, but a variation of it, and therefore it has the status of an av melacha as well. And it's not a violation of the fact that the Tana said there's only 39 that it has to be in the Mishkan, because the Tana only meant that there are 39 categories of melachas, of which one of them was in the Mishkan. But anything that's entirely similar to it would also have the status of an av melacha. Rav Guzman goes on to quote a tshuva of Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi, that's the author of the Shita Mekubetzes in Simen Lamed Ches, where he notes that the Rambam changed the language of the Tana to reflect his perspective on what the Tana is communicating. The Tana told us, look back, Mishnah Shabbos Ayin Gimel Med Aleph, the Mishnah lists activities. There's Hazoreya, Hachoyresh, Hakoitzer, Ha'oife. That means one who bakes. That's focused on the activity. The Rambam, or the one who's doing it, a specific action. The Rambam, in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Aleph, changes the language somewhat, not from Hazoreya, but to Zriya, Kitzira, Imor, Afia, which means baking as a category, not focused on the person, not on the action per se, but on the category of actions. Ha'oife. I'm sorry, baking as opposed to one who bakes, which switches the focus from perhaps a specific action to perhaps a slightly different connotation that has to do with a category of actions. The Ramah seems to understand the Tana literally, that there's 39 specific actions that took place in the Mishkan, and those are the Avos Melachos, and everything else is a total, but the Rambam seems to have had a broader perspective here. That even though, and therefore the Rambam's opinion is, even though only bisho of Samamanim took place in the Mishkan, and the creation of the Mishkan, and the dyes, and the skins, and the coverings, afia, baking, also is an av malacha, because it's similar in activity, in action, and in product, and therefore have the status of an av malacha as well, and that's why it's perhaps the Tana in the Mishnah chose to list, wasn't restricted to bisho, but rather chose to list afia, even though afia technically didn't take place in the Mishkan. But the primary source for bisho, what enables it to be one of the 39 Avos Melachos is that it took place in the Mishkan. Where did it take place? Not with regards to cooking foods, but with regards to cooking dyes. So we're going to spend, every other shiur except for this one discussing only cooking foods. But the primary source of the Isser of Bishul, the Melacha of Bishul Mishkan, was with regards to dyes, with regards to non-food items. And in fact, the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos, and I find out in the base, the end of the first line, Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Avi over here, Oiz Beis, Haiman the Shadda Sichsa Lasuna, person who throws a nail into a fire, Chayiv Mishum Avashel, is Chayiv for cooking. So Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. It's obvious if you heat up metal, you're chayav for bishul. Why is that obvious? I would have said bishul is only by food items. Well, no, because the whole source for bishul is from dyes. So you see, it doesn't have to, it's not restricted to food items. So it says, pshita, of course it should apply to heating up metal. No, so the Gemara says, mal detema lishrurei mana kamachavin. I might have thought he only has in mind lishrurei mana. What does that mean? So look at Rashi in the brackets over there. Rashi says, L'shrurei l'chazek v'yein kambishul. You only have in mind to harden the metal, not to soften it. And if you only have in mind to harden it and not to soften it, that wouldn't be a violation of bishul. So Gemara says, Kamash malon, the Tanakh, so the, I'm sorry, Rav Achia, Bar Rav Avia comes to tell us that a person who throws it into the fire is chayav. Why? Because he doesn't only have in mind to harden it, he has in mind to soften it first. Demir peropi v'hadar kamin. First, the metal gets soft, and then it will become harder afterwards. So, but since it first got soft, that's why a person is chayiv. And even though we don't say that the person only had in mind for it to become hard, he had in mind for it to become soft, and then later it got hard, and he's chayiv therefore for making it soft. Look at Rashi, Demar Pei Rabbi, Agdechayim Ha'or V'Hamayim Shebesaych HaYotzim. The water that's contained within the metal, that leaves, and therefore the metal gets harder. Since it got soft initially, therefore you're chayiv at that moment for bishul, even though later on it gets hard, which you're not chayiv for the activity of making it harder. So Rashi learns the Gemara that a person is only chayiv for cooking metal, you're chayiv for cooking samim manim, that's where it took place in the Mishkan. Bishul took place in the Mishkan. Not only chayiv for samim manim, you're also chayiv if you heat up metal. But Rashi understood, you're not chayiv for making the metal harder, you're only chayiv if you make the metal softer. However, the Rambam, in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Vav, disagrees. Go here, Ois Yud, the Rambam says, HaMatech Echa Mimine Meltachos, Kol Shehu. O Mechamis HaMatechas, Acha Teyosa Gacheles, HaReza told us Mavashel. So a person who heats up metal is also a violation of the Malacha of Bisho. And the Rambam explains, Kol Shehu Davar, whether a person makes something that was hard, he makes it soft, the metal softer, or he took metal that was soft, and then he made it harder, he's chayiv from avasho. So Rama understood whether you make the metal hard or you make it soft, as long as you change the state of the metal from being hard to soft, from soft to hard, a person can be chayiv for the malacha of bisho. Like a Mishnah asked in the Rambam, but the Gemara seemed to have implied, at least the way Rashi interpreted the Gemara, the only chayiv if you make it soft, not if you make it hard. That was the Gemara said, Pshita, mal de temu, shu imana kamachami, you don't have in mind to make it hard. And then no, the Gemara said, no, since you have in mind to make it soft, even though later on it gets hard, you're chayiv when you made it soft. So, but according to the Rambam, the chayiv, if it changes in either direction, from soft to hard, hard to soft, how did the Rambam learn the Gemara? So like a Mishnah explains, that the Rambam learned the Gemara, that the Gemara was saying, no, maybe there's no changes taking place at all. It was hard before, maybe it got a little bit harder, or maybe it really didn't even change. So that's what the Gemara meant to ask. The Gemara meant to say, Pshita, Mao de Temu, Lashri, Emana, Kamachavi, nothing changed. It was hard before, and it remains hard. Kamash Malon, Demir Pei Rapi, Vahadar Kamit. No, first it gets soft, then it gets hard, so there is some change that took place. That's how the Lecha Mishnah explained the opinion of the Rambam. However, according to the Rambam, a person is chayiv if it changes in either direction, whether it became hard to soft or soft to hard. According to Rashi, only chayiv if the metal becomes soft. Certainly, though, if it doesn't change states at all, you can't be chayiv for bishul. If it was hard and remains hard, or was soft nor metal and it remains soft, there's no bishul. The Rambam is it's either from hard to soft, soft to hard. According to Rashi, it's only if it becomes soft. But if it doesn't change at all. Let's say you take metal and you make it hot, but it doesn't change states, so then one would not be chayiv for bisho on Shabbos. That's why many poskim reject the suggestion of the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish writes over here, and similar mezayin oisir aleph, I give it to oisir aleph over here, near a davka kedeo shocheres yishon amuta liten. The Chazon Ish is commenting on the sif in Shulchan Aruch Reishon on Gimel Sif Gimel, where the Shulchan Aruch says, hamashkin babayker, a person wakes up in the morning, He sees that his dish is drying out. His chulent is drying out. V'yari penya adiyaf yaiser. He's afraid it's going to dry out further. We're going to spend a lot of time on this sifin chulent. What can he do? He sees his cholent is drying out. Yeah, it's on top of an uncovered flame. He can pick up the cholent, put down an empty pot on top of the fire, and then put his cholent down on top of the empty pot. What does that do? It makes it a little bit more distant from the flame, and therefore it's less likely to dry out, or take longer for it to continue to dry out. Okay, so he has his cholent on the top of an uncovered flame. He sees it's drying out. He picks it up, puts down an empty pot on top of the flame, and then he puts it back down on top of the empty pot. So the Chazon Ish writes, near a dafka kedeya shacheres yishana mutalitein. You can only use an earthenware pot. Aval shel mateches kishirei kanesh yesh lachosh lebisho. You can't put down a metal pot or a blech, what we would call a blech, on top of the flame, miluchadchila on Shabbos. You can't do it for the first time on Shabbos. Kedisa berambam, damachamis hamatechas achudnasi, gachelas harezim evasho. If you heat up metal until it becomes like a coal, a hot coal, yachai for bisho. Va'afim adayin loinasi gachelas, nira da'osu, says the Chazon Ish. Even if it hasn't changed into a hot coal yet, no, like red hot, you're still chai for bisho. Veneer the kol shenase yad saletes boy, which is the level of heat that if you heat water on Shabbos, you're going to be chayv. I'm going to spend time on that as well. The shear for heating water is yad saletes boy. For cooking foods is kemaychol ben drusoy. We'll explain all of this. But says the Rambam, says the Chazon Ish, it seems that if you heat up metal to the shear of yad saletes boy, that your hand would recoil if it touched it. Yesh bo mishum mevashel. Then there's bishul, just like by this bishul by water, if it becomes yad saletes boy, your hand would recoil if you touched it. So too this bishul by metal, if it became yad saletes boy. Ve'efshu da'asim in ha'tera ke'en chatzishir. Even though it didn't turn into a hot coal yet, at least it's chatzishir. And we know chatzishir is asim in ha'tera. So according to the Chazon Ish, one cannot put a blech for the first time on top of the flame on Shabbos. Ah, the Shulchan Aruch said, if you see your dish is drying out, you can pick it up and put a blech down to separate in between the flame and the pot, and then put the pot back. That's only talking about an earthenware pot, an earthenware blech. But to put a metal blech for the first time on Shabbos, let's say you forgot to cover your cholent or something, forgot to cover your flame, and you want to be able to return stuff or put things on top of the flame on Shabbos, it always has to be a covered flame. So Chazon Ish says you can't put a blech for the first time on Shabbos. It's got to be there before Shabbos. Otherwise, you're heating the flame to be out. So let us bow, and one is chai for bishul on metal as well. And even though the Rambam says it has to become a gacheles, the Chazon Ish says at least chatzi shir asim and atayra here became yad. So let us bow, that should be a problem. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in Perak Aleph Ha'ora Salmach, I gave it to your Oisud Beis, disagrees. And he says, Tzarechian, the Havi Kechatzi Malach, but loy Kechatzi Shir. The Meiri, Mesech the Shabbos, and Dav Gimel Mar Aleph, and many other Rishonim have a phrase called not Chatzi Shir, but Chatzi Malach. That the only time Chatzi Shir is Asman HaTayr is if you have, maintain the same integrity of the activity, but it's not taking place Kishir. You carry outside less than a kigrogeris, less than a date's worth. So then you carry, the activity is the same, but it's not done with the same volume. So that's chatzi shir. You ate macholos asuros, but you didn't eat the proper shir, the proper amount, but the act is the same. But you could have, not a chatzi shir, but a chatzi malacha, where it's missing, the primary thrust of the activity, or the integrity of the activity, is missing. You're missing what the whole malacha is about. So says the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, this is not a chatzi shir, this is a chatzi malacha. You don't have the activity. The activity of Bishol is changing the state of the metal from being hard to soft to hard. So the fact that you heated it up to be yad saletes, but nothing changed. You're lacking in the malacha of Bishol in the first place. It's not that you don't have enough metal. It's not a kigrogeres. That would be a chatzi shir. You don't have the malacha yet. It's not hot enough to be the malacha. And Ramesha as well, he quotes here from Ramesha who disagrees, the din zeh lo shach rak ve'esh gedoyla she'yachol alas is ma'tekas le'gacheles. If you would leave it long enough there, the black would become a coal, and red hot, and the metal would melt. Yeah, okay, then that's a problem. But if the metal is not going to change states, no matter how long you leave your black there, the metal is not going to change states from hot to soft, from soft to hard, then it doesn't seem that would be an issue. Therefore, the Shmir Shabbos concludes, Al kei nira The only time it would be prohibited to put a black on Shabbos is if it would actually become, you know, red hot or become a gacheles, and it would change from hard metal to soft metal. Otherwise, this would not be a concern. It's not a chatzi shir; it would be a chatzi malacha. So that should be allowed. The definition of the malacha would be missing. I don't know. I'm just thinking now. Sometimes blacks become warped though from the heat. You know what I'm talking about? They do become a little soft. Yeah, but I don't think that's soft, probably. That's not soft. It does become a gacheles. Yeah.
It might be a bit of a stretch, but the metal was already heated up and shaped, so would that be something like ein bishul achar bishul to some extent?
It's a good kasha. That great talis, that kasha we're going to get to when we come to water. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Keep that kasha in mind. It's an excellent kasha. Okay, but the Rambam told us that a person, I don't think that that's called heating it to become a gacheles. Gacheles means like a hot coal. It's a change from liquid metal to, you know, hard metal to liquid metal. Yeah, maybe just because it comes warped, I don't think. Yeah?
I'm just wondering, so Moshe Feinstein, is he agreeing at least with the assumption about Chatzi Shir, that this could be a Chatzi Shir even though it doesn't reach that, if it could potentially reach that?
No. If you would leave it there for long enough, it would become that.
Then
you have the action, but it hasn't lasted, you know, hasn't been there long enough. Oh, so then everyone would agree. But no matter how long you leave your blech there, it's not becoming a hot coal because it's exposed to the air. So that's not happening. Yeah.
Does he hold that in that case where it actually could reach a coal, where it couldn't become a coal? Like, would he hold that?
Everyone would agree. Then that's a problem. Yeah. If just you have to leave it there longer for it to happen, then that would be a problem. But if the heat is not hot enough that it's going to ever melt this metal, So then a person would be allowed to put a blech on Shabbos. I get asked this question all the time. It's mutter to put a blech on Shabbos. We're not machmer, generally speaking, for this opinion of the Chazon Ish, because a person is chayv if he heats metal on Shabbos, but only if it changes states. The Rambam told us a person who heats metal on Shabbos, that was the implication of the Gemara in Daf Ayin Daled Amud Beis, is that he's chayv for mevashel. That's what the Rambam told us in Perek Tesef El Chashabbos Lo Chavav. However, the Rambam, if you flip the page, the Rambam in Perek Yud Beis of Chashabbos Halacha Aleph tells us Hamachamimus Habaz of Kadei Letzarfu B'Mayim, a person who heats up metal in order to harden it in the water. That's how you harden metal. You heat it up, then you put it directly into cold water. You heat it up again, put it directly into cold water. That's how you make hardened metal. Hareza told us Mavir V'Chayev. He's Chayev for a different one of the Lama Tes Malachas, for kindling, not for Bishul, for cooking. And in fact, that seems to be an implication of a different Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, and Avavim Bebeis. The Gemara is discussing the pasuk Lo Sevaru Eish B'Chomos V'Seichem B'Yom HaShabbos. You should not light any fires in your encampments on Shabbos. One of the Lama Tes Havas Melachos is Havara. However, here, most of the Lama Tes Melachos are not singled out, articulated by the Chumash. Havara is. It's different than the other of the 39 Malachas of Shabbos. This is mentioned explicitly in the Torah. So the Gemara asks, why is this one different than the other ones? And of course, it's a big machlekes within the Gemara throughout the many different places. Either because Havara is lechalek yatzas, we learn from Havara that all of the Lamates Malachas are considered to be separate Isurim, which is relevant with regards to how many different karbonos you have to bring if you didn't know about Shabbos or didn't know about a certain Malacha. They're considered to be distinct and independent Isurim, Chiluk Malachas, or it's perhaps to teach us that Havara is a lav, Havara lelav yotzas. Havara perhaps is not one of the Lamates Malachas, which carries with it the punishment of Skila, rather, it's only a lav. But in the course of that discussion, why does the Torah single out Havara from all of the other Lamates Malachas and articulate this one explicitly? Sigmara suggests perhaps it's coming to teach us a different halacha. If a person will violate an isin in the Torah where he's chayev sreifa, so you'll put him to death. And in order to sreifa, they would take hot metal and pour it down the person's throat. So shamei ani bein b'shabbos. The pasuk says, you know, you have to put him to death. I might have thought during the week or on Shabbos. Now this pasuk is teaching us you cannot heat up the metal to pour it down his throat to administer the Mises Beis in a Sreifa, or really any other Mises Beis in, on Shabbos. So, meaning it's only during the week and not on Shabbos. That's Lo Sevaru Eish B'Chomosh V'Seichem B'Yom HaShabbos. Don't administer Mises Beis in, one of which is Sreifa, where you heat up metal and pour it down the person's throat, which would be not Bishol, but Havara, kindling. A different one of the Lamates Melachos. And the Rambam quotes that in Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Shabbos Halacha Aleph. But which is it? The Rambam already told us in Perek Tes of Hilchos Shabbos that if a person heats up metal on Shabbos, he's chayav for bishul. Here the Rambam is telling us he's chayav for kindling. Yeah.
Could I go on just talking about the fire that you need to heat up the metal in the first place, and not about being mavashal the metal?
The fire couldn't have been burning already. You had to light a new fire. Sounds like the metal is what the problem is. So the Ravid already asked on the Rambam, V'lama loy mishum avashel, the Rambam perek yibayz of Chavs, locha aleph, why is the Rambam say you're chayav for kindling and not bishol, k'mo sikhsa la'asuna, demar for rabbi, v'hadar kamet? The Rambam already told us, based on the Gemara earlier, Masech the Shabbos, that a person who heats up metal on Shabbos is chayav for bishol, and not for avara. So Magi Mishnah explains, the Rambam, v'mashe kosev, v'chayav mishum avashel, eino nearly. No, of course you're not chai for bishul. So kol davar shu atma nasa or v'soyrek ain roi loymer hamavasha hamavir. When the coal itself becomes red hot, that's not bishul. That's havara. V'kvaris kilo gachel shematechas b'loshen eish gomor. We often refer to a hot coal as a fire, not as a chulent or a soup. A hot coal is a fire, so it's havara. Yeah, okay, but that just explained why the Rambam feels that it's also a violation of Havara. But which is it? The Rambam told us earlier that it's Bishol. Here the Rambam's telling us it's Havara. You could sometimes in Melacha Shabbos be chayav two melachas for one action, but the rules and regulations when that applies wouldn't help us here. Can't be a chayav for both. It has to be one or the other. Either it's Bishol or it's Havara. So the Chazon Ish suggests, and this is also found in the Avnei Nezer, it's over here, Ois Tez Vav, the Chazon Ish and Tzumen Nun, Ois Tez, near the kavana bekan mishana sharish hamalacha. If you look at the language of the Rambam threw in hamachamim es habazel kidei letzarfo b'mayim, in order to harden it in the water. So says the Chazon Ish, if your intention is to harden it, you're chayav for havara. If your intention is to change its state from hard to soft, from soft to hard, why would you do that? Because you're going to form a metal kli out of it. Let's say you want to form a metal bowl. How do you form a metal bowl? You would heat up the bowl, make it into a shape, and then hammer it out to make it smooth. That's how you make metal kalim. So if your intention is to make kalim, make it hard and then soft, soft and then hard, so then you're chai for bishol. If your intention is to make it just, to make it to harden the metal by heating it up and then putting it in the water, heating up and putting it in the water, then you're chai for havara. That's what the Chazon Ish writes, near the kavana kan mishana esharish hamalacha. You want to make a kli. So when it's soft, it's easier to bend. That's bishul. When you don't want to make it soft and then hard, you heat it up in order to make it, put it directly into the water and harden it. That's ma'avir, because you make it red hot before you put it into the water. So according to the Chazon Ish, determines whether you're violating bishul, whether you're violating havara, is your kavana. Rosh Shlomo Zalman can't come to grips with this suggestion of the Chazon Ish, or he can't accept this suggestion of the Chazon Ish and the Avnei Nezer, because the Rambam happens to believe that malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa on Shabbos is chayav. If I do a malacha not for the intended, for the obvious purpose of the malacha, I do it for some other reason. Let's say a person had the classical example is a person has a mace in the house. There's a cadaver in the house. Someone passed away on Shabbos. And a mace, after a little bit of time, is going to smell. So we don't want the mace in the house. We're going to carry the mace outside of the house. So why are you carrying the mace outside of the house? Because you don't want it in the house. Not because I want the mace outside. I don't want the mace in the house. So that's called the malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa. I'm doing the malacha not because I need the product of the activity. It's for a second reason. I don't have in mind what the malacha generally has in mind for, or the product of the malacha. I have in mind something else. Here, the product of the malacha is carrying the mace from place to place. I don't care about that. I just don't want it here. So Reb Shimon's opinion in the Gemara is that if you do a malacha and not for the purpose of the malacha, then that's potter on Shabbos. If you dig a hole, I don't need the hole in the ground, then you're not chay for chayresh, because you don't need the malacha is digging the hole, and I don't need the hole, all I need is the dirt. There, Rav Shimon's opinion is that's potter. And many Rishonim passing like Rav Shimon. The Rambam passes like Rav Yehuda, who disagrees. Even if you don't need the product of malacha, you're chayiv. It doesn't matter what you have in mind. You dig a pit and you only need the dirt, not the pit, you're still chayiv for chayresh. If you take a mace outside, even though I don't need it moved from place to place outside, I just don't want it in the room, you're still chayiv for hoitzah. It doesn't matter what you have in mind. So says Reb Shlomo Zalman, it doesn't make any sense to say the Masha Kasav Kedei Letzarev Hu B'Davka. That according to the Rambam, what determines whether you violate Bishu, you violate Havara, all hinges upon what you have in mind. According to the Rambam, it doesn't matter what you have in mind. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman distinguishes in a different way. That there's a difference between the level and intensity of the heat. When the heat is at intensity, it's hot enough that the metal melts, so then you're chayav for bishul. When you heat it further, that it becomes glowing, red hot, then you're chayav for havara. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, kevich shekhen yucholim rak loimar, the only distinction we can make is, the be'ina davka shir chayim kazeh sheyroi achakach letziruf, the rak oz chashiv ke'esh. So Shlomo Zalman holds, it depends on how hot it is. A little bit of hot, or heat enough to melt the metal, that's bishul, to change its state. When you heat it even further, it becomes red hot, then you're chayav for havara. And that distinction is already made by the Lecha Mishnah. Look back at the Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph, the Lecha Mishnah comments on that. Rambam, Mekasha, Sharevi, Perek Tes, the Rambam told us you're chayav for mavashel, and over here the Rambam says you're chayav for havara, Lachay near the Masha Kosav, the Bedin hu lachayav, Mishum Mavil, Lebesayv, Shanasa, Eish, the Magen Mishnah told us, it makes hot metal, when it becomes red hot, is in fact a flame. Shekom avashom mishum hapoel harishon demar pirot b'chayim. Bishul is only when it gets soft. When you first start heating it. When you continue to heat it further and it becomes red hot, now already you could be chayim for havara. What's the difference whether you're chayim? Yeah?
There's a question of Matthias. Doesn't metal get red hot before it melts?
I don't think it becomes like the glowing... hot.
But then it would never become a glowing hot mass. It would always be a puddle before it did. Then the puddle might glow, but you wouldn't talk about like hammering that out into a clay.
If you heat metal, you can hammer it out before it becomes red hot. The red hot glowing is... it doesn't mean like it melts into a liquid. It means that it's malleable.
Okay.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah. No, I'm not talking about like a lava Hawaii matzav. Yeah. Yeah.
Why wouldn't every piece of metal carry along bishul?
It might.
What?
Yeah. First bishul, then havara. The change is. I'm sorry.
Especially if you think that the step of bishul would only be lost change for lagufa. Okay, still chayiv for them.
Yeah, but there are amahos chayiv from lost change for lagufa. Yeah, exactly. What difference does it make if heating metal? According to the Chazon Ish. Let's say I heat metal on Shabbos, not having intention to make it red hot and then put it in the water to harden it. I have intention to change the state of the kli. I certainly don't have intention to do tziruf. Some other intention. So you chayiv for bishul, not for havara. Havara is only if you make it red hot in order to harden it in the water. What difference does that make? Or according to Shlomo Zalman, I'm sorry, if it gets red hot and it glows, you're always chayiv for havara. According to the Chazon Ish, it's only if it's the tzarf b'mayim. What difference does it make? To make a big difference with regards to electric light bulbs. The Chazon Ish, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes over here at the end of Ois Tezayin, L'chein yorlini es daiti, v'linin hadlokas chashmal, kevin shachut shebesei chamenoiro, in at least an incandescent bulb, the filament becomes red hot, al chumal ben umefitz or, the chashav shinoi tfei v'chayv shopim mishu mavir. Since it's glowing hot, you'd be chayv for mavir. According to the Chazon Ish, since your intention is not kedei letzarfu b'mayim to make it red hot, then to put it into a cup of water in order to harden it, that's not your intention. So there's no havara here. All there would be is bishul. So that would be an important difference between the Chazon Ish and the Shlomo Zalman. It won't make such a difference with regards to turning on electric lights on Shabbos, because according to Chazon Ish, you can't turn on electric lights. It would be bishul, even if it's not havara. It would certainly be bishul. And according to the Chazon Ish, turning on any electric appliance might violate imlach of boina midday raisa, which is a discussion beyond the scope of our present conversation. However, it will make a difference with regards to another halacha, perhaps with regards to havdalah on Shabbos. Shlomo Zalman argues, since a glowing filament has the status of of a havara, of a flame, you can perform havdalah on an electric light bulb, according to the Rambam. What about according to the Ravid? Meaning if it gets red hot, you can perform havara on an electric light bulb. According to the Chazon Ish, you can't. Because according to the Chazon Ish, if you heat up metal and you don't have in mind, g'day l'tzafra b'mayim, what is this bishol? So it'd be like chicken soup. You can't make havdalah on chicken soup, no matter how hot it is, or on the cholent, no matter how hot it is. It's just bishol. It would be bayinet to turn it on, and it would be shul to turn it on, but it wouldn't be a flame that you can make havdalah on. So according to Chazon Ish, you certainly can't make havdalah on a hot flame, on an incandescent light bulb. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, at least his understanding of the Rambam, it's, if it becomes glowing red hot, so then not just a change, you know, it becomes soft, malleable, it becomes red hot, so then it has the status of a flame. You can even make havdalah on it. But the Ravid disagreed. The Ravid disagreed with the Rambam. He said, no, you're only chayv for bishul on heating metal. You're not chayv for havara. So Shlomo Zalman argues, the Pashup Shad is the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and he holds there is no havara by metal. And there's a good reason why there might be no havara by metal. Most havara, there's something that's getting consumed. Fire generally consumes things. You have a fire on a wood, the wood gets consumed. Metal, if it gets red hot, nothing's getting consumed. So perhaps that's why the Ravid felt there's no havara on metal. He defined melach of havara as not a flame, but as combustion. Something's getting consumed. The Rambam seems to have argued that havara is not defined by combustion, it's defined by a flame. The Stipler has an interesting riot to the Rambam, because the Stipler in the Sefer on Chumash on Parashat Shmos, in the Birchas Peretz, quotes the Pasuk in Parashat Shmos, v'hasneh bo'er bo'esh, v'hasneh enenu ukal. The bush was consumed in flames, but it wasn't becoming consumed. It was engulfed in flames, but it wasn't consumed. So Stipler says, you see from here, havara is not defined by combustion, by something that gets consumed. Rather, it's defined by a flame, even if nothing is getting consumed. So that perhaps that's a raya, that havara has nothing to do with combustion or something that's getting burned up. It only has to do with the creation of the flame. The Ravid, I would have said, the Ravid is arguing that havara, despite the raya from the Pasuk and Shmos, that the malach of havara is defined by something that's getting fueled, that's getting consumed. However, Shlomo Zalman suggests, no, the Ravid disagrees and he holds that there's no havara by metal in general, not because you need something to be consumed in order for it to be kindling, rather because metal never gets hot on its own. See, a fire that's burning in a piece of wood, so that's the source of its own heat. Metal can never be the source of its own heat. Metal can only be red hot if it was put in another fire. So it's never the source of its own heat. So the Ravid holds, such a thing can't be havara. Something that needs another fire, you know, it's not the initial fire. Something that needs only a secondary fire. Something that needs an initial fire to be hot cannot itself be havara. Havara is only when it's the source of the heat, not when it's, it's a conductor of heat. So that's perhaps why the Ravid held that fire, that metal is never havara. Metal is only bishul. However, Shlomo Zalman argues that's true by most metal. But metal in a light bulb is the source of its own heat. There is no initial fire. Every other time you heat up a spit of metal, you have to put an initial fire, and then that becomes red hot. Here, the light bulb, there's no fire in the wire, so it's the source of its own fire. It's the source of its own heat. So perhaps even the Ravid would agree, by a metal light, by an incandescent bulb, that the glowing filament would have the status, not of bishul, but of havara. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman argues, even according to the Ravid, one should be able to make bari ma'orei ha'esh on the electric light bulb. Yeah.
The raya from the snap, that was the miracle.
But it's still called ba'er ba'esh. Oh, you're saying, but the Torah goes out of its way. Normally, it's ukal. Here, it's not.
That was the name.
Yeah, very good. Okay. You're arguing with the stipler. Stipler brings the raya the other way. I hear you. You're making a good argument. So it's nishkin raya either way. Can't tell either way. And in fact, by the way, that parenthetically, that was the opinion of Reb Chaim Moiser in the Tshuvas Achiezer Chayil Gimel Siman Samach. One can make a havdalah on an electric light bulb. Reb Chaim Moiser, they say, would go out of his way to do this in order to make a point. The electricity on Shabbos, at least with regards to incandescent bulbs, is a melacha d'oraisa. With regards to Neir Shabbos, the Poskim have a machlokes about this, whether you can make hadlakas bracha of lahadlik neshel Shabbos on an incandescent bulb. It's certainly a neon bulb or a fluorescent bulb where there's no flame there at all. Most agree that you can't make a bracha on that. But if it has a glowing filament, So some held that you can, in fact, make a bracha on it, as Roshom Zalman told us, that it is the status of a fire. And others argued that you have no fear. Other perhaps technicalities is the reason why you can't make a bracha on it. There might be a fire, you know, a fire, but no flame. Maybe Halakas Neir Shabbos needs a flame or needs its fuel there. Paiskim debate the issue, but many do hold, and I think that many have the minig that if there's no real candle available, one can make a bracha Halakas Neir Shabbos on an incandescent bulb, like Roshom Zalman told us. Perhaps according to the Rambam and even according to the Ravid, glowing hot metal would have the status of an eish, and therefore one can make a bracha on it. According to the Chazon Ish, you can't begin this discussion. Hot metal that is not kedei letzarfa b'mayim is no different than any other hot kugel or hot cholent. It's bishol, not havara, and therefore, of course, you can't make a bracha on it. Another difference between the Chazon Ish and Rav Shlomo Zalman is with regards to putting out an electric bulb on Shabbos. According to the Chazon Ish, it's no different than taking a cholent off the fire. Of course, there's no kiboy to speak of. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that heating up turning on an electric light bulb is havara, so by the same token, to turn it off could in fact be kiboy. Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests that perhaps it's not a malacha of kiboy. Even though the Gemara tells us over here, Masechta Shabbos, Mebeis Amud Aleph, Mechavim Gachel Shomatechas Bishus HaRabim, Bishvil Shalo Yazuku Barabim. If you have a hot, glowing piece of metal in the Rosh HaRabim, you're allowed to put it out in order so the people shouldn't become hurt. Why are you allowed to do this in order so people shouldn't become hurt? Because this is a malacha shein tzricha legufa. You don't need the burnt out metal. You're only doing it so that people shouldn't become hurt. So you're doing a malacha. We don't need the product of the malacha. That's the definition of malacha shein tzricha legufa, which is only yasim in the Rabbanan, according to Reb Shimon, and you can put it out in order so that people should not become hurt. So if Shlomo Zalman argues, perhaps turning off an electric light should also be kiboy. It's not just the same as taking a pot of cholent off the fire, which is, of course is not kiboy. Since we're dealing with havara by a glowing filament, hot metal, so to take it to turn it off would perhaps be the malach of kiboy. It's not kiboy d'oraisa because you don't need the burnt out light bulb, but it would at least be a malach shein tzricha legufa. Would be kiboy midrabbanon. You don't need the product of malacha, but still be awesome to wrap on. Rav Shlomo Zalman then suggests that perhaps it's not even to take metal out of a fire is not even kiboy. Here the Gemara is talking about taking a glowing hot metal and putting it in water. That's kiboy. What if though an electric light bulb only stays glowing because there's electricity that continues to flow to it? So Rav Shlomo Zalman suggests, how come when I turn off the light, I'm just stopping the flow of electricity? And now the light bulb burns out. I didn't put it out. It burns out because I stopped the flow of electricity. Shlomo Zalman compares that to a person who's pouring gas over a flame. And then he stops pouring the gas. He says, who's going to say that that's called kiboy? I didn't put out the flame. I just stopped pouring the fuel. Why is that kiboy? If I take a glowing piece of metal and I put it in water, that's kiboy. Because it was havara before, now it's kiboy. But if I just stop pouring the gas and stop the flow of electricity, why is that kiboy in the first place? In fact, some quote in the name of Rav Moshe that with regards to, we just finished Yontif, that you can turn off a gas stove on Yontif because you're not putting out the flame on Yontif, you're just stopping the flow of the gas. Maybe that should be allowed. Generally, we don't assume that that's allowed, only if you can lower the flame if you need it, you know, you cook it, you know, if you're afraid your food is going to burn, or you can raise the flame if you need a higher flame in order to cook, but you can't turn it off. Why not? Why can't you turn it off? Why is it kiboy to turn off electric light? All you're doing is stopping the flow of the gas, of electricity. So Shlomo Zalman explains, Reb Chaim Moshe has this as well in the Achi Yezer, that it's because it happens right away. When you turn off the electric light, or you turn off the gas to the stovetop range, so it turns off right away. Anything that happens right away, even if your action is in removing something, everything is considered as if it relates to you. The basis for this is from the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, a person who shoots an arrow at his friend, Zarech Chets, Vitris B'Yodo, the other guy has a shield in front of him. Ubo Acher V'Natla, while the arrow is in the air, someone comes and removes the shield. Afil Hukadim V'Natla Potter. So then they're both Potter. The guy who shot the arrow is Potter, because when he shot it, there was a shield there. The guy removed the shield as potter because he didn't shoot the arrow. All he did is remove a shield. The arrow was going to hit the shield. So the guy who shot the arrow didn't do anything. I removed the shield, didn't do anything. However, the Yad Ramah over there writes that if the arrow is right up against the shield and the second before it hits the shield, almost instantaneously, I remove the shield, so then the guy who removes the shield is chayev. Because even though I'm not the one who shot the arrow, but it all happened immediately upon my action, even though all I did was remove something, I didn't shoot the arrow, I removed the shield, I'm chayev. So too says the Shlomo Zalman, the guy who turns off the flow of electricity, the light turns off instantaneously. A guy who turns off the gas to the stove, the gas turns off instantaneously. So we assume that everything relates to you, and that's considered to be a malacha of kibbutz. Not a malacha d'oraisa, I don't need a burned out light bulb, but it would be a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, would be also midrabanan. So you can't, just like you can't, the minig is not to turn off the stovetop. On Yantif, we don't assume like that Shmu in the name of Rav Moshe. So over here, you can't turn off the light on Shabbos. It would be not only dealing with electricity on Shabbos and the considerations of Baina, but it perhaps would be a violation of Kibboy, at least on the level of Midrabanan. Yeah.
Is there a Moshe response to the Gemara?
No.